This is The Takeaway. I'm Arun Vanigopal, in today for Tanzina Vega. Good to have you with us. And we begin the show once again on impeachment. Today is sure to be another marathon day as we hear testimony from three additional witnesses. Laura Cooper, a deputy secretary at the Defense Department, David Hale, undersecretary of state for political affairs at the State Department, and Gordon Sondland, the United States ambassador to the European Union. Sondland's testimony has been crucial in linking President Trump to the scandal at the heart of the impeachment inquiry. After initially denying knowing that aid to Ukraine was tied to an investigation of former Vice President Joe Biden, Sondland backtracked in a written statement to Congress. That reversal has been fiercely denied by the White House. And while the correction to Sondland's original testimony appears damning for President Trump, it also calls into question just how truthful he will be in front of Congress today. Jamie Floyd is legal editor and host of All Things Considered here at WNYC, and she joins me now. Jamie, good to have you back.
Hello, Arun.
So, in Gordon Sondland's opening remarks, Jamie, he states, Mr. Giuliani's requests were a quid pro quo for arranging a White House visit for President Zelensky. And then he goes on to say, Mr. Giuliani was expressing the desires of the President of the United States. Close quote. That's a pretty damning statement. What's your take on it?
Yes, well, I do believe that Gordon Sondland will be the most important witness so far. He's the witness who actually talked with President Trump directly about the matters at issue. And his testimony really could totally decimate the Trump defense. And this opening, the defense that President Trump was truly worried about corruption and not engaged in self-interested foreign election meddling. And this opening statement, Arun, suggests that that's where he is going. We now have this leaked opening statement, as you've just said, and he uses phrases like, at the express direction of the President of the United States, and I followed the directions of the President, and based on the President's direction. And he later goes on to say, Mr. Giuliani's requests were a quid pro quo. Quid pro quo, that same expression we've now all come to know so well, and that President Trump has said did not exist. Trump has said no quid pro quo. And now this witness, Sondland, again, the most important in my view thus far, is saying Giuliani's requests were a quid pro quo for arranging a White House visit for President Zelensky. Giuliani was expressing the desires of the President of the United States, and we know that these investigations were important to the President. That's a quote from the opening statement, which we will hear momentarily. And this is the same witness, Arun, as you pointed out just moments ago, made the shocking reversal in his closed-door testimony. Because he said other witnesses' accounts refreshed his recollection about conversations involving the suspension of U.S. aid. So apparently not just about the White House meeting, but also about the aid to Ukraine. So this is going to be a critically important day and a critically important witness.
So this is what we know about Gordon Sondland. He is a wealthy businessman. He's got a lot of hotels in his portfolio. He's also a big Trump donor. And in the context of these hearings, he's been a somewhat dubious figure who's played it both ways so far, hasn't he?
Well, he, you know, this is a man who has made no secret of the fact that he always wanted to be an ambassador. His parents were refugees from Germany. He gave a lot of money to other Republican candidates in the hopes that they would eventually become president of the United States, but they did not. And in fact, he had withdrawn support from President Trump along the way when President Trump made the derogatory comments about the Gold Star families. You'll remember that during the campaign of 2016. And then when Trump was finally elected, he went all in and he gave a huge sum to the inauguration, the inaugural fund. And that's when he got his long desired appointment. So he is not like many of the other witnesses that we've seen, long standing foreign service people of great experience. He is new to this game, if you will, Arun.
That's right.
And it is reflected in, I think, his his changing of his testimony, as he says, his reflections were his recollections were refreshed, but also in the way he comported himself overseas in Ukraine as others tried to pull back on the president's desires in Ukraine.
Sondland is part of what's been described as the Three Amigos. It's an obscure reference to a terrible 80s comedy, along with Energy Secretary Rick Perry, former U.S. envoy to Ukraine, Kurt Volker.
Yes.
What do you know, if anything, about this group?
Well, the Three Amigos, first of all, Volker testified yesterday, Ambassador Volker, that he found the reference offensive. Because it originally referred to his former mentor, John McCain, and efforts McCain had made in his long-standing foreign service and foreign policy on Capitol Hill. And yes, right, the 80s movie. It is a rather silly and flippant reference, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But it refers in this case to President Trump and an effort to send these three to Ukraine. And the thought is, or the suggestion is, that when the Ukrainians were, the allegation, I guess I should say, were not forthcoming with these investigations of the Bidens, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and publicly announcing them, rather than sending Vice President Pence to the inauguration of President Zelensky, as had originally been promised, rather than setting up a meeting with President Trump here in the United States, they sent a contingent of Perry, Sondland, and Volker to the inauguration. And Perry and Sondland and Volker also became very much involved in policy in Ukraine. And so they become critically important in this story as it evolves about the effort to, as the Democrats say, extort this investigation of the Bidens, this foreign interference, as Democrats are alleging and the case they're trying to make in our election process.
And certainly to the extent that Sondland's quote, quid pro quo quote, defines his testimony today, that would appear to be not simply explosive in regards to in his capacity as ambassador, but as somebody who has been there from day one of the Trump administration, supporting him financially and otherwise, correct?
Well, indeed. And again, he is the witness who has actually had the direct conversations with President Trump about the matters at issue. He is the one who is in the room with President Trump, on the phone with President Trump. He is implicated in a new call, Arun, the July 26th phone call, a call that we learned about on day one of these hearings when Taylor testified, the first public hearing in which Mr. Trump, President Trump, allegedly asked about the investigation. So this is after the July 25th call. He then allegedly gets on the phone, and we'll hear about it today, of course, with Sondland on the 26th. So it's another call, and there's a conversation about the investigation. So he is the man who has President Trump's ear about Ukraine, and the way the Democrats posit it is installed to further this agenda.
Yesterday afternoon, Jamie, we saw two additional testimonies from witnesses that Republicans themselves had requested. Kurt Volker, who served as a special envoy to Ukraine, and Tim Morrison, a National Security Council aide. Both of these men were on that July 25th call between Presidents Trump and Zelensky. What did we find out from them?
Well, it's important to note that they were really brought in by the Republicans yesterday in an effort to support the Republican storyline here. But they helped to advance, I believe, the defense, the Democrats, rather.
Prosecution.
Well, if you want to call it a prosecution, the Democrats. Allegations. So Volker, we should remember, resigned abruptly the weekend before his private deposition in the impeachment inquiry, and he was the first witness in early October. Morrison also resigned on the eve of his private testimony. And although both of them really were reluctant to say that they thought the call was problematic, they in the end said that they did have trouble with the call. So, for example, Volker said he resigned that he resigned because he saw this coming, meaning this impeachment inquiry coming, and he wanted to be able to provide testimony with as much candor and integrity as I possibly could. So he still largely, this is Kurt Volker, the State Department Special Envoy to Ukraine, he is still largely defending the president's action, saying that the Ukrainians never communicated to him a belief that they thought there was a quid pro quo. And so what he's saying is, well, since they didn't know there was a quid pro quo, there must not have been one. But he was uncomfortable generally with what was going on. So in the end, though the Republicans brought him in to support their storyline, in the end, he was not able to go there for them. Tim Morrison also resigned before his testimony. And he said the July 25th phone call concerned him, but he did not think, quote, anything illegal was discussed. And they also used him, the Republicans, to try and undermine Lieutenant Colonel Vindman's testimony because Morrison was Vindman's boss in the chain. But Vindman had been such a spectacular witness, he wasn't really able to do that.
Tim Morrison's predecessor, Fiona Hill, who is testifying in front of the House tomorrow, said that Gordon Sondland posed a, quote, national security risk. Why was she concerned?
Well, the national security risk of Gordon Sondland is rather plain to see. First of all, the EU ambassador is not technically have Ukraine in his portfolio, and all of the witnesses thus far, all of them, Maroon, have talked about how this back channel foreign policy toward Ukraine that Giuliani was running, Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor, was undermining our foreign policy in Ukraine and our national security interests at home. And so that's where I think that point was going.
Jamie Floyd is legal editor and host of All Things Considered right here at WNYC. Jamie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Arun.